Okay.
Okay, Lamed Hey Omid Beis, Halacha Beis.
Timing
as hello. We're gonna assume that it's for sake of translations that loof is a type of an onion. And the point here is that
did we finish that parsos yesterday?
We're up to the Mishnah. Hatayman as haluf b'shvias. A person who's burying the loof during shvias in order to preserve it. So Rav Meir Omer, lo yichas misosai, you shouldn't bury less than two saw. So there are six kaven to a saw. Six kaven to each saw. Six times two saw is therefore 12 kaven. So 12 kaven means that your total volume of onions should be 12 kaven. And that's the minimum that you'll have to bury if you want to put them in the ground during the Shvias year. So that, obviously, this is a gzer d'rabbanan, the people should see you putting them in the ground. You shouldn't think you're working and planting stuff inside the ground. So when they see this large volume, they'll know that you're just using it as a storage area, right? So that's a meir shita. If close me a sign, you can't have less than 12 kaven. And ad goyva shleisha tfachim, that the height of the pile should be 3 tfachim tall.
Underground.
And on top of that, there's a third requirement, the tefach offer al gabav. There should be a tefach, not just a little sprinkling of ground, the way you would normally do when you plant something, but an actual tefach of ground on top of it. The chacham are a little bit more makel. Lo yifchois me'arba'as kaben. Instead of 12 kaben, they have one-third the volume. You should have 4 kaben. I'd go a tefach, and it doesn't have to be 3 tefachim tall, it can be just 1 tefach tall. The tefach offer al gabav, that they agree with their mayor, that the tefach offer, that in that regard, they are the same. Now, the last piece seems to be something agreed upon both by the chacham and Rav Meir. The tom no b'mkom drisas ha'adam, that the place that you put it in is where people are walking. Of course, you would never be planting over there in such a place, because nothing will grow with people tread.
Why don't you? Can't you just have that as the criteria?
In the footnote, it mentions that the Chazon Ish indicates that it's possible that this all by itself would be adequate. If you take a look,
just the last item.
Where is it? He has it over here. Yeah, in footnote 15 at the bottom of the first paragraph, Chazon Ish 12:3 suggests. Possibly the last condition is sufficient on its own. I wasn't beyond that footnote. I don't know. It's a good ha'ara.
This is only to undo Marasayan.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. In order to avoid the appearance of planting, you must adhere to these rules. Okay, fine. Let's move on to the next Mishnah, it says here it's Mishnah Gimel, and I assume that it is Mishnah Gimel because. This previous piece that we just did was Mishnah Beis. Okay, so Luf, Sha'aval al Shvias, Rav Eliezer Omer. Now here we're talking about a whole different thing. Here we're talking about a din of Bi'ur. Now Bi'ur is a special rule that, remember it says, Kol al Chai ben Hasada, Kol Zman Sheyesh L'Chai ben Hasada Ato Eichel, Kol Chai ben Hasada, you know what that means? Right? Whenever the animals run out of food out in the wilderness, then whatever food you have, that if you have that type of food, right? There's no more, let's say there's no more apples outside in the apple trees. So now you have to take any apples you have in your storage and you have to do beer. What is beer? That's a machlokes rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam holds it means be your mamish, have to destroy it. The Ramban says, and most Rishonim agree with him, that it means hefker. That you're just going to take it outside your front doorstep and say, this is hefker. Then you could be chayzer v'zeicher by you. You could go ahead and after your mafker, you go and be zeicher it again. Now, there's a question in the Tanoim in the ninth parak, 9:6. Now, you don't have chelik beis. So I brought along my little Mishnah so I could read you 9:6 since nobody has the ninth parak with them. So it says, that's not it. It's not correct. 9:6. Hey, That's not it.
You put a sticker in the place right in the
side. No, I didn't. I must have made a mistake here. Just a second. He says 9-6. That is not correct. Just 1 second. Right with you. Yes, it's 9-8. It's a mistake. It's 9-8. Misha hayulo perishvias hegia shasabir. If a person had perishvias and the time of beer arrived, mechalek mizon shalosh suudos l'chol echad v'yachad. This is just an eitzah tova. You give each person in the household, in the neighborhood, all your friends, you give them 3 sudas. Whatever's left, you are mafkir. Right? You do the beer. Then it says, va'aniyim oichlen achar habir, avalo ashirim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Only the aniyim can eat, not the ashirim. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yaisi oimer, achar aniyim oichlen ashirim oichlen achar habir. That both aniyim and ashirim can eat after the beer. So they say, so what's the Rambam going to do with this Mishnah? The Rambam says you destroy it. What do you mean? Why is there a machlokas here? Whether you who eats it? You have to destroy it. There's nothing to eat. How does the Rambam learn? So they say the Rambam changes the girsa. He has in the key word ain, and therefore nobody can eat it, because guess what? The Rambam passes like a b'yaisi. You have to destroy it. Okay, so that's just a little trick, here's a trick up your sleeve. Anyway, so remember that. Rabbi Yehuda holds only Aniyim. Rabbi Yossi holds both Aniyim and Asher. Okay? We'll not like the Rambam from now.
If you have to destroy it, how did Aniyim eat it?
It's the same question. That's what I just said. He passes like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah.
And he's Gairus. Ein Oichlan. Echad Aniyim, Echad Asherim. Ein Oichlan Achar Abir. Let's leave the Rambam aside, because I didn't work out the sugya according to the Rambam. The Rav Rishonim don't agree with the Rambam, and we don't pass along the Rambam, so I'm not going to worry about it right now. Luf shop. So let's now, keeping that in mind right now. Okay, now you have Luf, you have this bulb. Okay, now one more thing. This bulb is, when you have, there are certain types of food that are not subject to beer, because if they're always available all year round, then there's no beer. There's no dim beer on them. So luf is one of those examples, because guess what? It's on the ground. So it's never a kol l'chaim and asar. You always have bulbs on the ground. There's no such thing as it's no longer available. The things that grow on the trees, you have the elephants come along and they eat up all the things that are on the trees, and there's nothing left. The trees are bare. That makes sense. But to say that the bulbs no longer are available, that's not correct.
So you're saying these are trees in wild, or this is in your
wild? Culture? Wild.
Well, how do you know that?
How do I know what?
How do you know there's no more apples out there?
You have to be in touch with your environment.
With the wild trees.
With the wild environment, you have to be available. You have to be, and sometimes they give you a criteria, like Mechanica. You know, certain things are. I think Mechanica, they say it's most of the stuff is gone or something. I'm not sure.
So it's a time period.
I think we're gonna see later. Discussions of exactly when. I don't remember.
I think this is more kind of stuff flowing with beans. I think I just had a last right.
Yeah.
That brings with that mission and Shvi is 9. I think it says 9-6.
The apple
the wrong spot.
No,
and it's talking about why do you need to go through the Shvi? Because that's the time it's rare.
Uh huh. Perfect. Very good. We're going to see. We're going to see. That's a discussion later. Okay. So now, Lof Shah Avral of Shvi is. Okay. Now this loaf, this is going to be, you have to hold a cup over here. Loaf, this is a loaf that grew in the seventh year into the eighth year. So it grew partially in the seventh year, partially in the eighth year, and then the Zman beer came in the eighth year. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im loktu ha'aniyim es olav loktu. If they picked the leaves during the seventh year, it was hefker. So the aniyim, let's say, picked all the leaves off of the loof. So when the during the eighth year, obviously, any leaves that grew during that eighth year were not part of Kedusha Shemitah, and therefore they're mutter. So that's why it says...
Because the Aniyah made it Hefker?
No, Shemitah made it Hefker. The Shemitah by itself, by definition, made it Hefker. But if they went ahead and they did a good job of picking up all the leaves, so then the owner picks it in the eighth year, it grew in the eighth year, so it's not subject to Shemitah Lav. But if the leaves were not picked during the Shemitah year, so then there's a mixture. So Yasa Cheshvan and Aniyim, you're going to have to make a little Cheshvan with the Aniyim. We'll have to figure out, you know, what's the percent of the leaves that grew in the Shemitah year, and you're going to give that amount to the poor people, and the remaining portion from the eighth year that you can keep for himself. This is obviously talking about the beer, right? So, one second. Yeah, he makes that distinction in the introductory notes. Yeah, so he says, types of produce that are always in season are not subject to the law of beer. They're always available in the field for the animals to forage. Accordingly, the Mishnah below on 7.1 says that the bulb of the loof, which is its root, is not subject to beer because it survives the winter and remains available in the field throughout the year. But the leaves, however, are subject to beer. So this is a little bit strange. At the same plant, right? The same food will be, what's above the ground is subject to beer. What's below the ground is not subject to beer. That's why we're talking about the leaves. And so Rabbi Lazar is saying, he obviously holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds, the Gemara is going to say this, he obviously holds like Rabbi Yehuda that the beer is only available for the Aniyim. And therefore, if there's leaves that survive into the eighth year, so you hit beer time, so you're going to have to be mavire all the leaves that were from the Shemitah year and give those to the Aniyim to be mekayim your din beer, because the din beer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, goes to the Aniyim. That's the idea behind this Mishnah. Okay, so Yasa Cheshbon, okay? That's Rabbi Eliezer saying. That's what Rabbi Eliezer saying. Rabbi Yeshua Imer, in Lachtu Aniyim, it's all of Lachtu. As far as that goes, it's the same thing. Right? If they collected it, obviously whatever grows is available. Imla, but if not, Ein La'aniyim Ima Cheshbon, he doesn't have to make a Cheshbon with the Aniyim. Obviously, he holds, like Rabbi Yossi, in the Mishnah that I just read you before, from the ninth parak, that after beer is echad aniyim, echad ashirim are able to eat it. So therefore, you don't have to make any cheshbonus. Who cares? Whatever the aniyim got during the Shemitah year, they got. If they didn't collect it all, so now comes time for the beer, I'm mafkir it, and I can be zoken all the leaves, right? That's what it says. Okay. Next. Now we're talking about... There's a rash here that I think that was important to speak out. One second. There's a rash. Yeah. He says like this. Yeah, this is his question. This is a partial question. You guys should have asked this question.
You didn't want to say it.
We said when it came to... Remember what I told you? The Zman... There are different Zmanim that are Kaveya, the Shemitah, Kedusha. And we spoke out. What do we say for vegetables?
Lakita,
when it's picked, right? So the Rosh asked the most obvious question. So if you're picking it in the eighth year, in the first year of the following cycle, so it's not Shemitah. Why is there any? Why is this? Where's the whole Shaila here? There should be no Kedusha Shemitah on these leaves at all. What's the whole discussion here? It grew partially in the seventh year. It grew in the eighth year. You picked it in the eighth year. By vegetables, you go buses to Manlakita. Why is there a discussion in this Mishnah? This is a very bomb question.
Are they seen as an extension of that which is underneath, which grew earlier?
Are what? Are the leaves?
Because they're not the
ikar. So you're saying, you might be speaking Mechavan to one of the answers. That's not the Rash's answer, but there's somebody that argues on the Rash. Hold on a second to that thought. That it could be that's the pshat. Let me tell you what the Rash says. The
is
Rash.
An onion,
yes. Okay. The Rash says the answer is that you must have picked the vegetable in the Shemitah year. Because you picked it in the Shemitah year, it has a din of Kedusha Shvius. and you didn't pick it up off the ground. You picked it out of the ground, but you left it on the ground. And then by leaving it on the ground, what happens afterwards? You know what happens. It starts to produce roots and grows some more. And so that's what happened. So you had leaves that had Kedusha Shvius, and then you had into the eighth year, and you had leaves that did not have Kedusha Shvius. That's his Ukimta. It's a big dochek, right? That's not really, why would the Mishnah pick such a wacko case?
Besides onions and potatoes, do we have any other bulbs that we use?
We're going to be talking about another bulb in just a second. Just a second. Let me just get to your answer. Let's see if he says it here. He didn't say that. He brought the answer in the Mishnayos.
The main edible part is onion.
I saw that. Hold on a second. This is which is this? This is chapter 5. Let me just look this up worthwhile to Mishnah see if animal. I can bring a raya to Rib Shabsi Shlita. Here we go. Rash Cirilo is what he quotes. Rash Cirilo, whatever however you pronounce it, he contests the basic assumption of the Rash that luf leaves should be treated as greens and classified by the year of their picking. Instead, he proposes that the luf is like a legume. Did I pronounce it right? That it's like a bean. And in which is classified according to the year in which it matures sufficiently to be obligated in Maestris. So it's close. It's close to what you were saying. So consequently, the leaves which mature sufficiently during the seventh year are Shemitah. Those that matured in the eighth year are not. Basically, see, he's arguing on the rock altogether. So we have a Shtigamach like this, how to learn. At least his Ukimta is not like this kind of crazy case. Anyway, that's only available in the Yad Avram Mishnayos. It's not available in here.
Does it say where in the Rash Cirilo it is?
No, I didn't look. I'm sure it's right here. Okay. Next. This is the other secondary type that I was telling you about. The Kitzonim onions. So if you had Luf of the year before Shvius, that means it grew in the sixth year, right? And it was still attached to the ground. And Kitzonim onions, 6. Let's say the one will explain it. The Chayim Pur Shalidis. Matter. I looked up matter, M-A-D-D-E-R, online. I looked it up, and guess what it is? It's this kind of, it's a thing which they develop a red dye from it. And it's used, how do you know what infernal...
I looked it up online.
What?
It's right here in English.
Yeah, I know, but I always like to see it myself. I saw a picture of it and saw what it looks like. Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah.
What's it look like?
It looks like broken twigs.
I couldn't guess that.
Yeah, it's infertile soil. Infertile soil, what does it mean, infertile soil? What does it say here? Poor shall edis, a matter that's growing infertile soil. Edis means bibs. Like edis and ziburus, right? So edis is the good stuff. So I guess it's growing in fertile soil. I don't know what the point of that is. Anyway, whatever it says. So Beis Shammai says, so you're going to be digging them up. Open also, you're going to dig it up with a shinoi. Because Batsim, you're allowed to dig it up because it grew in the sixth year. So it doesn't have to do shvius. But you want to do it in a way in which people won't think that you are working the field. So you dig it up with a shinoi. So Reish Shammai says the shinoi is you use spades of wood. Instead of metal spades, you use a wooden spade. Reish says, V'kadumos shomatechas. You use mattocks of metal. I'm not an English expert. Maybe some of you are. If you can tell me the difference between a mattock and a spade.
Here it says in parentheses, a pickaxe. With one end broad rather than pointed, which can be used for digging.
Okay, so that's whatever it is, you can't use a spade, but you can use a mattock. So you need a less of a shinoi, according to Beisol. Okay. He says, one point over here that is important to note, is why do we pick these three? So in footnote 9, he says, it's particularly regarding these three plants That is to say, the loof, the kitsonim onions, and the matter, that we require a change in the manner of harvest, but not in regard to other plants. This is because these three plants lie embedded deeply in the earth. Digging them up thus resembles plowing. Other vegetables, however, do not grow as deeply embedded, so uprooting them resembles the plowing. So that would be the difference why bees are particularly mentioned as requiring a shinoi. Now, umodim, now we're on 36b, umodim, the poor shots lost. Hisham agrees to base Hillel that what? If you have matter of tsilaos, that would be rocky ground. In other words, we said before it was matter of idis. That's what we said before. But this is the other type of matter. I don't know why I want to crack a joke, but it's not coming to me.
Does it matter?
Does it matter, right? The matter that it grows in the rocky parts, the ochronicin because of the shalantakas, then you can do it even with mattocks of metal. I agree to that.
You're not planting in that inferior soil. You're in the good soil, you it looks like you're going to want to plant it.
You want to plant, yeah. So it looks more, right. When can you buy loof following the Shemitah year? In other words, you have someone who's choshar al Shemitah. Normally, you can't buy stuff from him until you're sure that it's no longer a Shemitah product. You don't, I'm a miyad. You can buy right away. You have to have a rove that outnumbers it, okay?
So the same guidelines apply. In other words, if it, one thing will push back against Marasai, either it's the wrong field, the wrong ground, or the wrong tool.
Correct. And in every case, you're actually using a little bit of a different tool. Nobody ever allows a metal spade, regardless of the case, right? It's always
used to plant.
Yeah, that's what's usually used. So you always have to have machinery, even a hard ground. Okay. Now, what's Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara will explain it. Chacham is saying you have to have Rebbe of Parish. Okay. Yeah. Dr. Gemara, tell me that's a loop. Ad kedon loop.
Rabbi Yehuda says Mishirel Acholish.
That's a chama. That's a chama.
I'm sorry.
Rabbi Yehuda says miyad. He says right away you can buy it from someone who's choshed. The Gemara will explain that. And the Chacham will say Mishi Yerba once you have rove.
Rove
of new stuff, yeah. Once you have rove,
And we're still talking about only about the loof.
Yes.
We're talking about the bulb now?
Talking
or
about the bulb. Bulb, yeah. We'll see that in the Gemara. I told you that's a loaf. So the Gemara says, Ad kedon loof. So now, till now, we're talking about the loof plant. What about bitsolim? What's the rule? Is that the same rule or is it different? Is ordinary onions also subject to these requirements in storage? I'm Rabbi Yoina. Yes, he loaf, he bitsolim. It's exactly the same. If you have onions, if you have loaf, doesn't make a difference. You have to have this, you know, whatever it is, the tefach, the four kabin, whatever it is. I'm Rabbi Yoisa said, no, mistava bitsolim, if you pox me, come mother. Because ordinary onions are smooth and they can be packed more closely together, so even less than two saw, according to a mayor, or less than four kav, according to a chachamim, it would be considered a pile, a storage pile, and therefore you don't have to worry about the marasayin so much. So you have a machlokes, whether regular onions are left, same or not. Okay. Lo sha'avra lo shriyas. What about shriyas past? So the Gemara says what I told you. So Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the aniyim get it, and if it goes by, the aniyim didn't collect it, you have to make a cheshbon with the aniyim. So he's coming out, Rabbi Eliezer, who holds what?
The same thing in our Mishnah.
In our Mishnah, right? And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yeshua, I think maybe I'm getting the names backwards. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Here's the Mishnah later on that says, right, that he goes to the Aniyim. And Rabbi Yoshi says, Bein L'Aniyim, Bein L'Hashem. So he's coming out with Rabbi Yeshua, who says, you don't have to make any Cheshbonos. The Sina Talmud, here it is, they quote the Mishnah. Haniyim Eichon Achar Avir, Avalo Hashem, De Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yoshi Yomer, Echon Aniyim, Echon Hashem, Eichon Achar Avir. So that's the Mishnah that I just quoted you before. Sakta Gemara Vayta Rabbi Imi Ba Kumi Rabbi Yochanan. So he asked the following question. Masisa Anshalai Gazal HaSvakim. So, one second. Is this a news thing? No? Should we stop here?
No. Afterwards.
You know what? Let's stop here. This is a new thing. Let's stop here. So this will be the end of the daf for today.
Yeah. That's for Rabbi Bloom.
Yeah. Okay, call to everybody. Bris Kodesh, Mitz Hashem, will be tomorrow, 10 to 7, Chakras in. No, in Rabbi Gross's shul.
That's just next door.
That's next door, the little white house. And then the actual Suda, the Smitsa, will be over here in Shomrei.